Shout out to this Hendrix. I promise, I swear.
Thanks for tuning to the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah, and you guys will be listening to episode 2, where I'll be talking about my latest concerns in the Blazers and their 3-game losing streak and possible trade targets that they could possibly come up on during the trade deadline or even before it. And I'll be talking about the latest upcoming schedule, the next 5 games against Orlando, Denver, San Antonio, Dallas, and Phoenix. So let's just dive right into this. Last night against the Clippers was a very disappointing loss, I would say, because I felt that it was a game we should have won because we held some of their stars in check. I mean, Tobias Harris had his thing. He had 34 points, 11 rebounds. He shot 14 of 22 from the field, and they won 104 to 100. Damian Lillard hit 2 crazy shots to even get us into that position, and he had 2 crazy threes that were just deep in front of everyone. All over Gallinari's face, I think, the second one. And he just solely wanted to win that game by himself, and the team did not want to. They weren't playing defense in the second half as much as they were in the first half. They were running in the first half. They had a 15-point lead in the first half, and it looked like it was going to be a game they're going to control all the way. And it was just frustrating as a Blazer fan to look just to see the game physically. Just I was so frustrated in the second half because I felt we really gave it up. Besides Tobias Harris, that was their only player that really did anything. I mean, Avery Bradley played pretty solid defense on Dame. Dame still had 30 points, but Avery Bradley, he picked them up full court, and guys like that always kind of tend to bother Dame, which I would get bothered too because it's really tiring. Someone on you full court just dragging like a little he was playing solid defense. It's just insane that how much of a downfall he's had since his Celtics days. I wouldn't say a downfall because he's still a great player, but like he's just not getting attention like he used to because he's had some injuries. So, I mean, Lou Williams only had 4 points. Sadly, they came in like the clutch in the fourth quarter. He just randomly decided to make a couple shots and ruin our runs. He shot 2 of 13 from the field, and we were just locking him up. He wasn't even playing that much in the fourth, and the Clippers found a way to win. They got to the free throw line. They made 23 free throws, and they're number one in the league at getting to the free throw line. So it showed to last night, and I was just frustrated with the Blazers. They weren't playing smart in the second half. Dumb turnovers. There was a point in the late seconds of the game where Evan Turner could have easily grabbed the ball. It slipped out of his hands, and the Blazers turned it over, and it was the end of the game right there. They were down by 4 then. If he would have corralled that ball, the Blazers were on the run. They would have tied the game at 102, and we would have been in overtime or even won the game. So it's just frustrating things like that. They just didn't play as good as they did in the first half, and it was simple as that. They gave it to the Clippers, honestly. They did. And CJ only had 18 points, 9 rebounds. He shot 8 of 21 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3-point. He showed up in the second half. He was making some shots. I mean, I wouldn't say he showed up, but there was a couple times in the game in the late fourth where there were some questionable shots, and I was kind of frustrated because it was early in the shot clock where shots that the Blazers needed to make because it was a tough game in the stretch. I mean, it was a 2-point game where CJ could have tied it with a back-to-back jumpers. There's a time in the game I think the Blazers missed 5 straight shots, like easy jumpers. Seth Curry missed one, Dame missed one, Evan Turner missed one, I think CJ missed twice. So it was one of those games that just didn't, the ball didn't go in the hoop the second half. They gave it to the Clippers, like I said, and I was just, it's just frustrating because from 2 weeks ago, we were number one seed, so much confidence, and it's like typical Blazers. I mean, you get so high on the highs, you really ride the highs high, and then you really ride the lows lows. Because right now, Twitter, our Blazer pages are all dead, Twitter's dead in Blazer life because we're sitting at the 6th seed right now. We're 12-8. The 5 through below are almost tied. It's ridiculous. The West is ridiculous right now. Let's just talk about it. The Clippers are 13-6 first seed, which is just ridiculous. No one would predict that. The Warriors are 14-7. Denver is 13-7. The Memphis Grizzlies is 12-7. Oklahoma City Thunder is 12-7. And then here comes us, Portland, 12-8. The Lakers are 11-8, and New Orleans Pelicans are 10-10. So that just speaks to the West. It's crazy. I mean, Houston is 9-9, sitting out of the playoffs right now. Sacramento Kings are 10-10. Dallas Mavericks are 9-9. San Antonio Spurs are 9-10, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are 9-11. And the Jazz are 9-11, sitting at the bottom of the conference. What is going on with the Jazz? I don't know what is going on with them. People were saying they're going to be the 3 seed. I'm talking about the 3 seed in the West. People were legitimately saying that. They're 9-11 right now. Donovan Mitchell, I feel like he's been kind of playing a little hero ball, thinking he has to carry this team, which he generally does have to carry the Jazz. It's just funny to me because he had 31 points on like 30 shots with no assists. It's just, if any other player like Damian Lillard did that, I couldn't even imagine what Twitter would be like. People were slandering him a little bit, but he needed to get slandered a lot more for that. That's ridiculous. You can't have 30 shots with no assists as a main ball handler, a main person who has the ball in his hand probably 75% of the game for their offense. It's just confusing to me, and he needs to be more of a playmaker if the Jazz are going to get out of this funk, and they need to get more healthy. And let's get back to the Blazers, though. Let's just talk about the bench. The bench hasn't been there the past 3 games. Against Milwaukee, they did not show up. That was the reason why they – partially why the Blazers lost, and it was another reason why they lost to the Golden State Warriors. And the Warriors didn't have Curry or Draymond. That's a perfect game to go in there, steal one at Oracle. That's just a game we should have won, and they didn't even play well. We got 20 piece. It's been a frustrating time for the Blazers. The past week has been very frustrating. We were first place 2 weeks ago. Now we're sitting at the middle of the conference. It's just we don't want to be mediocre as a squad, especially with Dame in his prime and CJ pretty much in his prime. So it's just frustrating. The effort, it just hasn't been there the past 3 games. It hasn't been there at all for me watching the game. And the first half, I really thought it was going to be different. I thought they were going to be a different team. I thought they were going to come out and run, and they're going to play like they're fresh. And I'm excited because the next 15 out of 23 games are at home, and it's going to be a time where we're going to have to really catch our feet, win a lot of games, and it's going to be important for our placing because we're sitting at sixth. If we won like 5 straight games, we'd probably sit in the top of the conference right now. And I'm looking for us to play better as a team overall. And I'm looking for Dame to be more assertive in the fourth quarter. I know he is very assertive, but I feel like we need more of that Dame time that he had last year. And I feel like he's kind of saving it a little bit, which is safe, and I can understand because it's only 20 games into the season. But right now we need him. We desperately need him right now. I know he scored 30 last night. We just need him to be more efficient. His passing's been legit this season, so we just need more out of him in the fourth quarter, and we need more out of our bench. And they showed a little bit against the Clippers, which is why we had a good game. Which is why we were in the game, honestly, because the starters weren't playing well. And let's talk about Nurkic, though. He had a shoulder injury in the first half. He didn't return for the whole second half. And I was proud of the Blazers for how they played without him because the first season when he got hurt and they weren't playing without him, they looked really bad without him, honestly. And even last year, they didn't look too good without him either. And Myers Leonard came in and did a magnificent job. I have some interesting stats to get to about him in a couple minutes. Let's talk about Collins. He fouled out as well, and he's just had a tough time staying in the game. He's just had a lot of foul trouble, which has been frustrating for him. His offensive game hasn't been there as much. It was a little bit tonight, and there was a weird stretch there in the third quarter where we went to him maybe 5 straight possessions. The Clippers were pressing us really hard, and they were just pretty much saying, Zach Collins, score the ball. And, he did a pretty good job. He kept us in the game for a little bit, but his offensive game hasn't been there for the past 5 games or so, and it's just been a frustrating time, like I said, for Collins. And I feel like he will get into groove again. I feel like he will get on defense and get in less foul trouble. And he has to stay in the game if he wants to play. He has to not foul. He has to not get gaps where he has 2 fouls in like under a minute or 3 fouls in under like 5 minutes, just stuff like that. He had 3, like there's a game 2 games ago. He came in the game for 5 minutes and picked up 3 fouls, and Terry Stotts is like, pretty much like, Collins, I gotta take you out. Like, what do you expect me to do? I can't leave you in the game. I need you in the second half. You know, it's been frustrating for Collins, and you know who else has been frustrating for? Aminu and Harkless. I mean, mean, I can understand Harkless. He's coming off an injury. He was 0-2 from 3-point last night. He's still rusty. He's still going to get that shot. And when he got that shot last year and he started making threes, this team was an entirely different team. Like, when him and Aminu are making shots, this team is such a good team. And when they're not making shots, it's not a good team, because when teams press Dame and CJ really hard and double team off the screens and do all that, they're going to leave Aminu and Harkless, and they're going to say, listen, you guys beat us with the shots. Until you make like two or three in a row threes, we're not going to guard you. And Aminu wasn't doing that last night. He was 0-5 from 3-point. He had 0 points. And I mean, the defense is there, but this is why I'm going to be talking about possible trade targets in a couple minutes, is because we need someone that needs to be more consistent than Aminu right now. And the defense is there. I love the defense. I wouldn't say we need to trade him, but I'm not going to count on him in the playoffs again with that shot, because he showed it last night where we needed him to make a couple more threes than he needed. And if he would have made at least two or three, the Blazers would have came out and won this game. I promise you that. And Harkless is going to get that shot, but we need that shot to land, and we need him to make some more shots. We need his energy, because he's a great player for us. And let's talk about Jake Lehman, though. He didn't play at all last night after playing in every single game for the past 19 games. And Nick Stauskas only had 7 minutes last night. That was his season low. And I don't know what Stauskas. I feel like Stotts was probably a little frustrated with him, and I don't know all that. I'm not gonna make that a fact. But only 7 minutes throughout the whole game, there has to be something going on there. I mean, Curry had 23, and he's only the second game off an injury, so that's interesting to see. I feel like Stauskas will play a lot against Orlando, and let's transition to that, because I'm enough about the Clippers game, enough about these losses. I'm really frustrated these past three losses. It's just not been a good time, and hopefully the Blazers pick it up, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk about the next five games. They play Orlando, Denver, San Antonio, Dallas, and Phoenix. Orlando, they have been playing tough. They swept the LA Lakers, and they beat the Lakers at the Lakers, and Vucevic went off for 31 points and 16 rebounds. That's some LeBron numbers. Like, he went off, and if we don't have Nurk that game, that's going to be concerning, honestly, because if Nurk's not playing against him, Nurk is a big, big, big guy, and he can guard Nikola Vucevic, and it's just, I feel like if we don't have Nurk that game, that's going to be concerning, because I feel like that's going to be a big night for him. And if we stop him, I feel like we can stop we can let everyone else generally do their thing. Not do their thing, but, you know, not go off. We can't let Aaron Gordon go off, because he can go off for 30 for them. Or Terrence Ross, because for some reason he always likes to go off against his hometown team. And I'm predicting the Blazers will get that W. It's at home. They're going to come out firing. I think they're frustrated with themselves in the past three games, obviously. And I think they'll come out and win 112 to 100 that game. I'll give them that score. Let's talk about this Denver game, though. That's going to be a tough game. Denver's been playing pretty good as late. I think they've won three straight. And if Nurk isn't there to guard Jokic in that game either, that's going to be concerning as well, because Jokic has been having a career year, as he's had the past two seasons. And if Nurk's not there again, because he loves playing against Denver, but honestly, I don't know the status on Nurk's injury. I think it's a little minor. He looked pretty well when he was sitting on the bench in the first half. I mean, he didn't look like he was in drastic pain. So, and it's against Denver. That's a team that he honestly hates, and that's his rival team. He's always loved playing against Denver. I can't see them losing that game. If Nurk does play, I can't see them losing that game, because Nurk's going to come out and he's going to do his thing. He's going to be the Bosnian beast. He's going to do everything. He's going to do everything for the Blazers. He's going to be a little Sabonis like he was a couple games ago when he was dishing out assists. And I'm interested to see how Nurk plays against Jokic, because Jokic has been really well, been playing really well lately. So I will give the Blazers a dub there, and I'll give them a dub 115 to 110. And let's talk about the San Antonio game. It's at San Antonio. I'm going to predict it's tough to say. I will maybe give this one to San Antonio, because the Blazers have always played really bad in San Antonio. But, I mean, who hasn't played really bad in San Antonio? I mean, they have, like, one of the craziest home records the past, like, 18 years, ever since, like, Tim Duncan got to the San Antonio Spurs. They've had the craziest home record I've ever seen. And they honestly came in – Last season, they couldn't even win on the road. All they did was win their games at home, and they got to the playoffs pretty much. And that's just insane. And that just speaks to how good they are at home. And it's going to be a tough game. I mean, DeRozan's been playing really well. LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing really well. And you know LaMarcus Aldridge, he decided to play well against the Blazers, although he didn't play well against them the first game of the season because the Blazers played really well against him on the defensive end. So if they can contain him again, I will give the Blazers this W. But playing in San Antonio is never a fun thing, and I think that if they do come up with a W in San Antonio, they could come up these next five games 5-0. Honestly, that's my opinion. And let's talk about the next game, though. They will play Dallas at Dallas, and for some reason, the Blazers have had a tough time playing in Dallas as well. It's just the Texas teams, honestly. They don't play well in Houston either. And when they played the Dallas Mavericks last year, they lost to the Mavericks, and Dennis Smith had a highlight dunk at the end of the game. And it was an embarrassing loss where the Blazers were struggling last season. And I remember it vividly. I was really frustrated with that loss. And if I'm looking for them to come out and win, because, I mean, but Dallas Mavericks have a stud team. They have a bunch of young pieces that are developing with Luka Doncic, and he could potentially win the Rookie of the Year. He's really developed, really adjusted to the NBA style, and not like a lot of people said he would. And I've been really impressed with him myself. He's making shots. He's not too slow like people have said, and he's been playing really well. And so is DeAndre Jordan. He's been shooting from the free throw line at a way better rate for them. And I think it's gonna be a tougher game than people think. I think the Blazers will come on top there, though. I think Damian Lillard's not gonna let them lose that game, because he knows this is a game where this is a lottery team right now. We need to win this game. We need to show that we are a team that takes care of business against teams that we should. And I think the Blazers will come on top to 100-95. And the next game is at Phoenix. I mean, not at Phoenix. We'll be playing home against Phoenix. And the Blazers will be coming on top this game. I have no doubts in that. Unless Devin Booker goes off for something crazy like 60 or 70 points, which he has in the past, and the Phoenix Suns have still somehow lost. So They have Jamal Crawford, though, and for some reason he likes to go off against the Blazers. It's just all these guys like to go off against the Blazers for odd nights, and it's just very frustrating as a fan. And for the Blazers to win against Phoenix, they're going to have to stop Devin Booker, at least contain him to 20 or 30 points, 30 points to the most, and I'm very confident the Blazers will come up with a win. And if they can come out with the stretch 5-0, they will be 17-8, and they will be in a really good position. I think they could probably, if they were 17-8, they would probably be the third seed or below, because there's going to be some teams that are going to lose, or there's going to be some teams that play each other, and that's going to decide, because the West is so close within a game or two. And let's talk about the possible trade targets that I was going to talk about. I was talking about with some fans on Twitter, and I was really impressed with Tobias Harris. He's a free agent this summer, and there's been possible headlines that he might get traded, or he's been concerned he's going to get traded because the Clippers might not want to sign him. But he's playing like a player that might get a max contract, and the Clippers have the money to get him to give him that money. So I don't think he will leave them, and I don't think they will trade him. But if the Blazers could somehow find a way to get him in a Blazers jersey, I would be all in. I know, honestly, I would be all in with him, because he's a stud. He's a 3-and-D player. He has a frame that the Blazers need at the 3 spot. And if the Blazers could find a way to trade for him, I would be ecstatic, honestly. Let's talk about another player, Otto Porter. I was tweeting about this earlier, and my mentions were kind of blowing up on this. A lot of Blazers fans wouldn't welcome Otto Porter to the Blazers, and that confuses me, because Otto Porter's a great player, and he hasn't been playing like he should. For his contract, because he just got an insane contract, and that's part of the reasons why the Blazers probably won't trade for him. It's because that contract, but the Blazers don't want three players with a contract like that. I mean, they already had a Myers Leonard, they've always already had an Evan Turner, so that's why I can get why Blazers fans wouldn't want Otto Porter. But he's a great player, and he would be a great player at the 3 spot for us. I mean, just like Tobias Harris, there's both players that have a good frame. I mean, Otto Porter's long, he can play defense, he can score the ball, he's a better offensive game than Aminu does. He can consistently hit the three way more than Aminu can. And I feel like with him at the 3 spot, they also would make us contenders in the Western Conference, because he could bring that to the table. And I don't know why Blazers fans wouldn't be open to him playing, and they would be open to him playing once he got here and was playing well for us. So let's talk about another player. This is kind of a weird player. I don't know if a lot of Blazers fans would be ecstatic about this, but I mean, Harrison Barnes, he hasn't lived up to the potential as he should in his NBA career. He hasn't been there since like the Golden State days. I mean, Golden State made him look a lot better than he probably was, and I'm looking for him to really step it up for the Mavericks and really carry their load for them, but he hasn't so far this season, and I feel like the Blazers could potentially come in and trade for him, and I feel like he would be good at the three spot. I've seen articles in the past like couple years about the Blazers potentially being interested in him, and I feel like he'd be a good spot at the three. He's a more consistent shooter, more of an offensive game than Aminu, which he can still bring the defensive game, so that's always a plus. And let's talk about another guy though, Stanley Johnson of the Detroit Pistons. I've talked about this guy a lot to some of my friends, and he's a stud on the defensive end. He's locked up multiple guys, star players in this league. He put a defensive show on Kawhi Leonard when the Pistons and the Raptors played, and that was Dwayne Casey's redemption game for them. So he locked up Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter, and they came out with the dub that game. And you have to get a lot of credit to Stanley Johnson for that game, because he slowed down Leonard a lot. And his offensive game is a little raw, and I think it's still a little better than Chiefs. Chiefs is a little more inconsistent than his, but Stanley Johnson hasn't lived up to the hype like he had before coming into NBA. But I feel like if they could get a trade for him, he would be a solid piece to this team. Let's wrap it up there. Those are pretty solid trade targets. I think another free agent they could possibly get before we go would be Trevor Ariza, if he was to be waived by the Suns. I think he would be a solid guy for us. He's a veteran. He's been to the finals. He's won a championship, so he'd be a great addition. He knows how to win.